Fix Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz, and we start the hour, as we always do, with the headlines that you need to know. And we'll start with some controversy in the world of college football. Mississippi State running back Kylan Hill said on social media Monday he would not play for the Bulldogs this upcoming season unless the state flag is changed. He tweeted in response to Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves, who posted on Twitter that a proposal among some in the state legislature, there's a proposal to create a second Mississippi flag. He said that proposal does not meet the threshold and would divide our state more. In response, star running back tweeted, "Either change the flag or I won't be representing this state anymore. And I meant that. I'm tired." In a subsequent tweet, Hill, who was born and raised in Mississippi, cited the flag's controversial history for his ultimatum. "You're talking about one of the best running backs in the SEC standing up and saying he won't be a part of that university unless that changes." Next up in the headlines, speaking of changes coming at universities, University of Cincinnati is removing Marge Schott's name from their baseball stadium. The University of Cincinnati has made that decision to remove the late Cincinnati Reds owner's name due to the, quote, record of racism and bigotry. The university's board of trustees on Monday unanimously voted to remove Schott's name from the stadium and from the university's archive library. The decision effective immediately. So another big statement being made. And lastly, got to get you some coronavirus news for the day. Novak Djokovic has tested positive for coronavirus. So top-ranked tennis player announced Tuesday that he and his wife have COVID-19 after he played in a series of exhibition matches he organized in Serbia and Croatia with zero social distancing amongst the coronavirus pandemic. He's third in the history of men's tennis with 17 Grand Slam titles. He's the fourth player to test positive for the illness after participating in matches that were held, again, in Belgrade and Zadar, Croatia. So at this point, Novak Djokovic, COVID-19 positive. So we'll see what that means moving forward for the tennis world. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests, and we got a bunch of them today that are great, appear on the Shell Benzo Performance Line. And that's also where you guys can hang out with us. We now have the news. Major League Baseball owners are going to implement a 60-game season. So I want your thoughts on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, 888-729-3776. Where are you on the 60-game season? Now, I know a lot of you guys are going to call in and you're going to say, hey, you're pumped for it. You just want to see baseball. I also want to hear from the purists on the other side. Tell me the detriment to the 60-game season. If you're not into it, tell me why. I want to know both sides of it from you guys that are baseball fanatics. You know me. I'm just a casual outlier, a casual watcher of the sport when things are exciting. So it's easy for me to say, hey, 60 games, that's super easy to buy into. It's going to be super fun to watch. But I want your take on it, especially the baseball fanatics. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Before we get your take rolling, I want you to get some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, unlike Verizon, does not play games. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. Saves you up to 50% against the big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. The Straight Talk comes in the form of Tim Kirchin joining Stephen A. Smith and Max today on First Take to talk about how excited they are about the return of baseball.
I would prefer at least 120 games, let alone 160. But when you talk about 60 games, I mean, my God, that makes the Mets equal to the Yankees, for crying out loud. I mean, if it's just 60 games, anybody could get hot for a couple of months and be a competitor, if not a championship contender, for crying out loud, simply because of how truncated the season has become. And as a result, just getting a hot hand and all of that other stuff, we got to pay attention to that. I do like the fact that with a shortened season, particularly one that's starting this late, there ain't going to be too many excuses for injury. If you've been taking care of yourself as a professional, even though it's not going to put you in quote-unquote baseball shape, nevertheless, some of the injuries that you may sustain over the course of 162 games, one would surmise that you've got a better chance of avoiding that over the course of 60 games. But I just think that ultimately what it really, really comes down to is us absorbing and really embracing the moment. We haven't really had sports. I mean, the only person that's given us sports first was Dana White with the UFC. And then obviously, Bob Arum and Top Rank, they've had some boxing matches on. But outside of that, we really haven't seen much. And we know the big three, football, basketball, and baseball, even though football wouldn't have been going on anyway until September or August, that is, for the preseason. Basketball would have been going on. That's not back yet. Baseball hasn't had an opportunity to really take this nation back to some degree. They they could have made a profound impact, but I think they dropped the ball. I think they've still alienated some of their audience, and even though people are going to be watching because we're desperate to watch, we're going to be watching to some degree with a raised eyebrow because of what it took to get to this point, how it's just 60 games, but we'll take whatever the hell we can get because we don't really have much right now. We'll take whatever we can get.
Well, first of all, Tim, I appreciate you need 162 games. In fact, theoretically, in order to find the best team in baseball, you need something like 10,000 games. So the difference between 154, which it was once upon a time, and 162 during expansion in 1961, they could have easily taken 8 games off and gone to 146 or 130 games. It's virtually the same thing as 162 in terms of the probability of figuring out actually which is the best team. It's one of the reasons the postseason, until people started figuring out the formula there, power, arms, and defense and stuff. The postseason is such a crapshoot because it's not enough games to really always determine the best team, not like in the NBA. There's some chance, but that's one of the things that makes it interesting that there's some chance. And I really think the reason they originally expanded the games was money. More money to be made when it was a popular sport. But the trade-off is there's the inventory being overflowing the way it is. You've diminished the importance of each game. You've made it even more highly localized and less a national sport. Because it's less a national sport, people in New York don't care about what's happening to a team in San Diego, unlike in football or basketball, where you follow we never talk about it on this show, unless something like this happens. And as a result, it will become increasingly marginalized. So I think baseball needs to do something. I think cutting the number of games, as much as it kills me as a purist, is one of the answers. And I'll bet that this season winds up very exciting, partly for what you pointed out, because it's unpredictable, even more than usual, and we will get reduced games in the future.
Right. The game is in a terrible mess right now, but the only way out of this is to watch Mike Trout take that ball shin high and hit a line drive over the left center field fence. It's watching Garrett Cole throw 100 miles an hour at Yankee Stadium. It's watching Mookie Betts play right field. It's watching Francisco Lindor joyously play shortstop every day. That's the way out of this. And if we can get 60 games of that, all this bad feeling directed at baseball, at least some of it could go away.
Well, Tim, one of the things that I want to say, and I'm happy that you're on the show. Thank you for being on here this morning. I want to say this to you directly because I think it's something that hasn't been mentioned enough, Tim. The players are right in this, in my estimation. I think that the owners could have found a way to at least throw in the 10 additional games, for crying out loud. To be so dogged about 60 games just shows you who the owners are and how malicious they can be or insensitive they can be. I totally get that. But the players have always known what they're dealing with when it comes to owners in Major League Baseball. We understand who they are, whatever, and for the most part, they are faceless. As a result, the onus is going to be placed on the players for exactly the reasons that you mentioned, Tim. And I don't believe that Major League Baseball players have done enough, and Alex Rodriguez has said this on many, many occasions over the years. I don't think they've done enough to ingratiate themselves with the rabid fan base that they've had, even though it's older than the other sports, and to ingratiate themselves with the younger generation on the come up to make sure that they get baseball a little bit more. I think that if they had done a better job than that, I think their message would be embraced by the masses more vigilantly. And I think as a result, they'd be held in higher regard and they'd receive some more support. The kind of things that you're talking about in terms of what we could see from Trout or Cole or anybody else. Well, guess what? We need to hear from the players in terms of how desperate they want to do it. I know we've seen quotes from them or whatever, but this is the age of social media and beyond. We see the impact the LeBrons and other NBA players have had. We've seen the impact NFL players have had. It's very few, if any, baseball players that has resonated with the average fan out there. Yeah, and true. I think that has hurt the sport just as much as anything else.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Don't forget, Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oils made from natural gas gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. I want to take your take. How excited are you for the 60-game Major League Baseball season? Again, you guys know me. I didn't grow up a diehard baseball fan. I'm not a diehard baseball fan. So I love it. I love the unusual about all of this. I love the truncated season that we're going to get. I get the excitement that we're going to get around it. And hopefully there can be enough of this that it sort of forgives and forgets some of the conversation we've been forced to watch in this very public, bitter negotiation to get us to this point. So I want to get some expertise on it though. So we're joined now by senior baseball writer at The Athletic, Keith Law. You can check out his book, The Inside Game. It's available right now. He joins us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Keith, thanks for your expertise, man. I really appreciate you giving us some time. So first and foremost, we get the announcement of a 60-game season, but we've heard some back and forth on whether or not the players are going to put up a fight. How confident are you that this will now be what we actually see, 60 games of Major League Baseball?
Well, they can't really put up a fight, right? They're simply holding Major League Baseball to the terms of the agreement negotiated by both sides in good faith back in March. And as long as Major League Baseball also abides by those terms, which it appears that they're going to, there isn't really going to be a fight over that. There will have to be continued negotiations just over specifics of health and safety protocols. But it's mostly trivia at this point. The biggest things are essentially already settled. The players will be paid pro rata for the number of games played. Major League Baseball did have the right to implement a season of the length of their choosing as long as it was at least 50 games. That has happened. We are not having expanded playoffs. The big stuff is already settled. So I think there will be a season, or there will at least be a start of a season. And the biggest obstacle to starting a season or even completing a season is the virus itself, not really anything between the two sides.
So educate me then, Keith, because we've had so much back and forth in such a public way between the players and the owners. If this is where we were going to end up, why did we go through all that?
Well, this is on the owners, too. And I'm seeing a lot of both sides-ism from many people in the media, and a lot of it's obviously coming from sources in the industry where the owners, I think, are trying to put equal blame on the players here. But the truth is, the two sides came to an agreement in March. The owners took a very long time to come back to the union with a very specific proposal for a season. And at every point, the owners tried to reduce their financial obligations to the players. And one, the players had no reason to accept that because there was already a negotiated agreement between the two sides. And two, one thing the owners never seem to acknowledge in their communications through the press is that the players are the ones taking on all the risk here. Owners can put on a season and never leave their houses. The players are the ones who are actually putting themselves and their families at risk of infection from the coronavirus. And as much as we'd like to think these are all young athletes in peak shape, that does not include ones with underlying medical conditions, ones with family members who might be at risk, and all of the coaches and executives and other staffers who could be at risk because of age or because of other medical conditions. So the players had every right to insist on owners sticking to the terms of the original agreement, and that is ultimately where we ended up.
We're talking to senior baseball writer at The Athletic, Keith Law. Again, you can check out his book, The Inside Game, available right now. Keith, with that being said, if I'm a player and now this is the world that I'm living in, it's a shortened season, I'm not making quite as much money. We understand what the players, as you just mentioned too, that you alluded to the risk that they're putting themselves in. For players in general, how comfortable are they even playing?
Well, with hundreds and hundreds of players, we're going to have, I think, a pretty broad range of responses. I have seen some players who have underlying medical conditions indicate they probably wouldn't play. I personally, if I were a player, I have an underlying medical condition, a genetic disorder, that I don't know if it puts me at higher risk of complications from the coronavirus. I wouldn't mess with it. I personally would back out and say I'm not playing this season because I'm not comfortable. And so I would expect we'll see a number of players choose not to play this year, but there will be many players who'll choose to play for financial reasons or because they believe they're not at risk. So I think we'll get plenty of major leaguers, but there will be some big names absent.
All right, Keith. So now let's get to the actual baseball we're going to see. We're talking to senior baseball writer at The Athletic, Keith Law. And First Take Your Take, I'm Jason Fitz. Give me your sense. I mean, a 60-game season, who does that benefit? What team stands out to you as benefiting the most from that?
Yeah, I wouldn't say any team particularly benefits, especially if we don't know exactly what the rosters are going to look like. What you will see, though, it just, if you follow sort of the law of large numbers, says that the longer the season, the more we see the cream rise to the top. So in a shortened season, 60 games is less than half of the length of a typical major league season. So what that means is we will get more unusual outcomes. That'll be true at the team level and at the individual player level. So some teams we do not actually think would have been playoff contenders in a 162-game season will probably end up contenders in a 60-game season. We will also probably see more unusual results from players. We could see a player hit 400. We could see a pitcher post an ERA below 1.5, things we don't typically see over the course of a full regular season. It would not surprise me at all to see players put up great stats that would set records if they did them over a full season, just because we're dealing with a shortened season. And I'm good with that. It's a shorter season. It's an unusual time. We're in a historically unprecedented year here. Let's just embrace this for what it is. Be glad we're getting some kind of baseball here. And as long as everyone stays healthy, I'm not going to get overly concerned with a player or a team performing wildly differently from expectations. I'll just say that's just part of what we bought into for the season.
But let's acknowledge, Keith, the baseball purists are all about stats. I mean, that's at least a big part of the joy for a lot of baseball purists. So how will baseball purists handle whatever we do get statistically out of this season?
I would say deal with it. That if anyone gets worked up over the fact that somebody, let's say someone hits 400, say that Mike Trout comes out and hits 402 this season, is he really the first 400 hitter in almost 80 years in baseball? Probably not. It should be acknowledged in the record books that, okay, well, he did this in less than half a season. That should not lessen anyone's enjoyment of it. If you find yourself unable to enjoy a player performing at such a high level in a shortened season, I would say maybe you should just stick this year out, and that's fine. But let other people enjoy things. And to me, watching a player put up a performance like that, even if it's just in a 60-game stretch, would be fun, would be enjoyable, would be very, very good for the sport, because it would be a positive thing. We could use positive headlines in the world of baseball right now. And if Mike Trout goes out and hits 402 in a 60-game season, I say let's go with it.
It's been widely reported, obviously. We know that the collective bargaining agreement is going to be right around the corner, more labor issues. What do you see from this 60-game season proposal that you think is actually going to influence any of the conversation that happens at the next CBA negotiation?
I said this on Twitter last night, that the salient point to take away from these negotiations is that Major League Baseball, now in multiple negotiations here, this one with the players, the negotiation of the professional agreement with the minor leagues, and their most recent negotiation with the umpires union, Major League Baseball has taken a hard line in all of those negotiations. And in two of them, they basically got what they wanted. They didn't really get what they wanted from the players here, but their negotiating tactic was very hawkish and apparently was led by a few owners who wanted to take a particularly hard line. I view that as a harbinger for the talks next year, that the owners are going to try to push through further salary reductions or other cost reductions in the next CBA negotiation, just as the players have come around to the acknowledgement that in the last CBA negotiation, the players didn't take enough of a hard line, went for more quality of living improvements, and lost out, I think, in the overall financial picture. So I think this negotiation next year is going to be pretty contentious. I don't know if that's going to mean that there will be a work stoppage, but it won't be an easy negotiation like we've had really in the last five CBA negotiations, when many of them had settled long before any deadline. This one looks like it's going to be tough.
Keith, I've always appreciated the fact that in these tough conversations about baseball, you've been willing to give us your time. I'll just give you my word. Once we get baseball, I'd love for you to come back on and actually talk about the baseball that we're seeing. So I really appreciate you doing this. And we'll try and have a real conversation about actual baseball on the field. Check out The Inside Game, by the way, his book available right now. Read him on The Athletic. Keith, thanks so much for the time, man. I genuinely appreciate it.
My pleasure. Stay safe.
Senior baseball writer at The Athletic, Keith Law there. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio. I'm taking your take. Don't forget, tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast. Get you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. Presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, review ESPN Daily. Available wherever you enjoy your podcast. What's your take? How excited are you guys for the 60-game season, Major League Baseball? Tristan in Pittsburgh. Always love it when Tristan calls. You've always got good takes, Tristan. What's your MLB season take?
The one thing that I'm really excited about this season coming up, I'm excited to see baseball again. I'm a huge baseball fan, but I can't help but notice the big stain, not only from COVID, but Major League Baseball itself has added a stain onto the 60-game season that it didn't need to, with this bleep show that they had between them and the players' union. And so going forward, I think whenever, even after the 60-game season, I think the CBA going forward, part of that for the players needs to be not only new leadership, but innovative leadership for the players and innovative leadership for baseball itself. Because baseball is not going to survive under the current leadership model that they have and under their current under the current marketing model that they have. Baseball is less marketable than it has ever been in its history. And young people, especially my generation, are not going to be watching baseball for much longer under the current leadership.
Tristan, I always appreciate your take, man. I think it's a good one. And look, a 60-game season is actually an opportunity for Major League Baseball to try some things. Historians are already going to be flipping out, trying to figure out how to manage and manipulate the information we get, right? So to me, there's a lot of good that can come from this 60-game schedule. The question is, what's it mean moving forward as they try and look at it from the baseball community? And I think you make a great point. One thing we need to see is better communication, better transparency from players and owners working together to try and help the sport instead of both sides working just for themselves. I want more. Your take, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the conversation. Your excitement for a 60-game Major League Baseball season, good and bad. I want your take on both sides of it. We'll take more of your take. Plus, coming up, will Jamal Adams be on the move? We'll hear from an expert, and we'll hear about it next. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. Presented by Progressive Insurance, it's Shower Sessions, half interview, half concert, all from the shower. Watch new music videos and exclusive interviews now at youtube.com/progressive. I'm Jason Fitz. We're taking your take. I want your thoughts. Where are you? Excited? Not excited? Purist? Not happy? Happy on the 60-game Major League Baseball season? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Roger in Missouri. Roger, what's your take on the 60-game season?
I just don't quite know how to feel about it. I've loved baseball my entire life, and watching my kids play it now is one of the greatest joys.
Well, it sounds like we're losing Roger, unfortunately. Roger, try and call back in. I want to get more of your take on that. If you get the opportunity, when you get better service, we'll make sure you get in. And obviously, what he's saying there, I think, is true for a lot of fans. Just trying to figure out what it means. Not sure what to think about it. Graham in Florida, what's your take on the Major League Baseball season?
Hey, Fitz, looking forward to hearing you again with Scotty on ESPN Orlando today. Baseball lover. I love the game forever. I'm an umpire. I think for me, my bigger concern is I disagree with Stephen A. is that I think injuries may actually end up being a bigger issue because in a shortened season, you know, the rule of thumb is that a team loses a third of their games, wins a third of their games, and the last third of the games is a crapshoot. So looking at now 20-game losses, so guys are probably going to have teams within, what, only 15 losses maybe to go ahead and get good seeding. With injuries, you're going to have pitchers who are going to try and pitch longer or going to try and get through this sprint. I think you're going to see an uptick in arm injuries. And then in the end, because of all these issues with COVID in Florida and in Arizona with the spring training sites, what pool are you going to pull from to go ahead and backfill these extra slots? Yeah, they're going to have extended rosters, but at the end, if you do begin to see an uptick in injuries or if they are pushing through, I think it's an issue. Baseball missed a great opportunity, I think, to go ahead and have a bigger season of total games, but then try things like dropping it down to 7 or 8 innings, putting things in place to go ahead and stop the long extra inning games, because this was a great opportunity. Now you had to go ahead and try and tinker some of those rules that they want to try.
Well, thanks for your take on it. I appreciate it. And look, I agree that there might have been opportunity to tinker. I'm interested to see if they take any of those opportunities with the 60-game season that we get, since purists are already going to be out on it. Anyway, we'll keep the conversation coming. I want more of your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. How excited are you for the 60-game Major League Baseball season? But before we get any more of your take, I want to head over to the Shell Penzo Performance Line, because we also have the rumor mill working around the clock in the NFL. We continue to get closer and closer to what we hope will be a season, and closer and closer to trying to figure out what's going on with Jamal Adams. So I want to get thoughts on all of that from ESPN NFL analyst Damian Woody. Woody joins us on the show right now. Woody, thanks for the time, man. I hope you and yours are safe. When you look at this Jamal Adams situation playing out so very publicly, what's your reaction as a former player?
Well, I think there's a couple things. Number one, I think there's a breakdown of trust between the player and the organization. I think this is a situation where a player felt like there were certain promises that were offered to him multiple times, and that the organization didn't come through on their word. And so, you know, Jamal Adams is probably feeling like, hey, the organization promised that they were going to address this contract situation, take care of the situation, and the organization hasn't done that yet. Now, there's some extenuating circumstances to it, obviously. You know, with this whole pandemic, you know, there's a lot of teams that's kind of, you know, on pause mode as far as spending money, because we don't know what the cap is going to look like next year. It could be flat. It could be down from, where it was expected to be. So it's a tricky situation. Obviously, Jamal Adams has let everyone seemingly know that he's done with the Jets and he wants to move on. And but all the leverage lies with the Jets in this particular situation, because they're in a situation where conceivably they have Jamal Adams' rights for the next 3 years, this season, the fifth-year option, and potential to franchise him. So this is a tricky situation.
So, Woody, you mentioned trust is broken. When trust is broken at this level, can a check solve it? Like, if they just write a big enough check, is everybody good?
You would think so, but the fact that, you know, the only pause I would have towards that is the fact that he's let the public know that, you know, if he's traded to, you know, a contender, he doesn't necessarily need his contract adjusted. So it seems to me that he just doesn't want to be with the New York Jets and not necessarily about the contract. So, you know, that's a whole different situation of itself. And, you know, I think this is a situation where people just going to have to sit down in a room and going to have to hash this out and not go through social media and all those type of things, but actually sit down man-to-man behind closed doors and see if they can't come to some type of resolution.
We're talking ESPN NFL analyst Damian Woody. So stick with me here for a second, Woody, because I'm going to die on this hill over and over and over again. But nobody's talking about the win-loss record of the Jets with Jamal Adams, right? Like, guy wants to get paid, and he's a great player, so nobody seems to have a problem with it. But conversely, whenever that's a quarterback, we automatically say you can't pay a guy unless he's won. So how much should we apply win-loss records for teams to all great players?
Well, I think you bring up a great point, and I've heard this point time and time again as it relates to Jamal Adams. Like, oh, well, they've been a bad team, you know, even with him on the roster. And listen, you know, he plays a position in safety that doesn't, you know, directly affect the outcome of the game as a quarterback. But make no mistake about it, Jamal Adams is a great, great football player. He's one of the best football players in the National Football League. And so, you know, in my opinion, he's definitely outplayed his contract. He deserves to get paid. Unfortunately, there's been some issues. Like I said before, you know, the trust issue has broken down between the player and the organization.
Well, and Damian, I think that's a big part of what my mind wraps around. Like you said, Jamal Adams is a great player, and he deserves to get paid. And frankly, I agree with all of that. So what I'm trying to do is not kill the logic for Jamal Adams, but kill the logic on the Dak Prescott side. Like, there's this concept that you can't pay a quarterback unless he's won a Super Bowl or suddenly unless he's that epic quarterback that results directly in wins, losses. So how much should win-loss record be put squarely at the feet of just a quarterback?
Well, listen, you always hear people say quarterbacks get, you know, too much of the adulation when things are going good, and they get too much of things when things are going poorly. That's just the nature of playing the quarterback position. But you're right. Win-loss record should not dictate what a quarterback should be getting paid. You know, if that was the case, Kirk Cousins should have never been the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League, or even Smith being the highest paid quarterback. So I always tell people it's about timing, okay? It's about timing and hitting the market. And when you look at Dak Prescott, he's been in the league, you know, since 2016. All he's done is, people want to talk about win-loss record, he has the second most wins only behind Tom Brady since coming into the National Football League. I mean, this is a guy who's a fourth-round pick, who's, you know, been a starter since day one, hasn't missed a game. Barely has missed practice. He's done everything you could possibly ask of a guy who's a fourth-round pick. You got to remember, most franchise quarterbacks, usually are drafted in the first round. So to get a guy and develop him in the fourth round, that's a coup for the Dallas Cowboys, and Dak has done everything on and off the field that you could ask for. He definitely deserves to get paid. You know, the numbers and length of contract, I think, is just holding this thing up.
We're talking to ESPN NFL analyst Damian Woody on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. Woody, anybody looks at me for 2 seconds, they know that I didn't play in the NFL. But you obviously did, my friend. So I want to get your thoughts on what we're seeing in this pandemic world, because obviously guys aren't together in the same way. They're not at OTAs in the same way. They're not doing things together in the same way. What real impact will whatever this changes in the training camp era and the OTAs have this season, what real impact will it have on the game that we see in the fall?
Well, Jason, quite honestly, I'm worried. I mean, we have situations, we have guys who are testing positive and they haven't even been in the building. Think about that. They've been having personal workouts, you know, on their own, and these guys are still testing positive. What's going to happen when they report back into the building? What's going to happen when a starting quarterback tests positive? And guess what? You're sitting in the same quarterback room as everybody else. What do you do then? What do you do with, your coaching staff? Some of these coaches are older coaches, and they fall into that area where they're most vulnerable because of their age. What do you do then? There are so many variables out there right now that I feel like the league is kind of flying by the seat of its pants because they're kind of waiting for Major League Baseball, NBA, to kind of take off so they can have a better gauge of how this thing is going to play out. But one other factor is, these guys are not going to be in a quote-unquote bubble like the NBA players are going to be. These guys are going to be going, you know, being at home. They're going to be going about, you know, their business in public. So this whole pandemic, we're in uncharted waters, and it's going to be a roller coaster ride this season as far as this pandemic is concerned.
Damian, if you were still playing in the league today, would you be comfortable reporting and playing?
I would have to think about it, and the reason I would have to seriously think about it is because my wife is immune depressed. I mean, she has a compromised immune system because she has lupus. So if I were to contract the coronavirus, and it could be potentially deadly for her. So for me personally, that's something that I would have to seriously think about, maybe have to give up a year until you get some type of vaccine.
Woody, you're the best, man. I appreciate your honesty and transparency and all of this. And as always, I appreciate your expertise. Stay safe, my friend. Thanks for coming on with me.
No problem, man. Anytime.
So what Woody just said right there, what Damian Woody just said, is important. And it's something that we all need to remember, because as Major League Baseball makes its plan to return, and as we look at the NFL and as we look at college football, we've got to start looking at everybody that plays these games as human beings. Every one of these athletes are human beings with the other factors that play. It's not just about coming back in and playing. It's about everything else that could affect, from personal life to future money to life in general. These are things that we have to respect at some point, whether it's a Major League Baseball player, an NBA player, or a football player. It's not as simple as, hey, let's get out there and play because that's what everyone wants you to do. We have to remember that real people need the opportunity to make real decisions on how it impacts their lives if they're putting themselves at risk. I want to keep taking your take. 888-SAY-ESPN. How excited are you for the 60-game Major League Baseball season? 888-729-3776. A lot of you guys want to chime in. We'll let that happen. Plus, Draymond Green joined First Take to talk about LeBron's influence on the return of the NBA. You'll hear it next. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting small businesses with specialized coverages for commercial vehicles. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. We'll keep taking your take in just a second, but first I want you to hear a little important First Take today. We talk a lot about the NBA logic. Well, rather than us talking about the logic of NBA players and what everybody wants from LeBron James, let's hear from an NBA player. Draymond Green joined Stephen A. Smith and Max today to talk about LeBron James and the power that he deserves to yield on and off the court.
I think LeBron yields a lot of power, and as he should. You know, I think arguably the greatest player of all time. You look at his resume, it's flawless on and off the court. You know, the things that he's been able to do on the court, obviously spectacular, but it's, you know, it's more important the things that he's been able to accomplish off the court. And that's where, you know, he get the utmost respect for me from. You know, it's not about, for me, what he's done on the basketball court. As a competitor, I enjoy playing against him. You enjoy playing against the best. But what he's done off the court and, you know, the initiatives that he's been able to lead, and this is just another example of that, I have the utmost respect for him. Hopefully he run for president one day.
Draymond, I want to get your thoughts on another subject, why we have you here. So there's been some hesitation. I know the Warriors, obviously, all the injuries. You guys wouldn't be a part of the bubble format, the 22-team finish here. But players like Kyrie Irving, Avery Bradley, others have expressed their hesitation. They're afraid it's going to detract from this movement that you're all a part of, then also all the concerns with COVID. Where would you be if you were to play in that Orlando bubble tournament?
I think, you know, if it came down to, you know, if our team was in it, I'm a basketball player. I want to play. You know, when you look at COVID and all of those things, obviously it's a very serious issue that we're facing. But, you know, I think Adams, Commissioner Silver, and, you know, the rest of the NBA staff are doing a great job of doing everything that they possibly can to make it safe as they possibly can. And so, you know, I'm as a competitor, I love playing the game of basketball, and anytime I can get opportunity to do that, I enjoy doing it. You know, I don't knock those guys for how they feel. Everybody's entitled to their personal feelings and their personal opinions, and, you know, that is what it is. But, you know, as you look around the country and everything else is opened back up, and everyone is taking the necessary precautions, and, you know, I think that's great. You know, everybody get down there, you wear your mask, you do your social distancing or physical distancing, and you practice those things and, you know, move forward. But I'm looking forward to some basketball coming back. And, you know, I know a lot of the rest of the world is as well.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. I know I'm looking forward to it coming back. Dear God, I cannot wait for whatever version of it we get. We're taking your take on Major League Baseball coming back. What do you guys think about it? What do you think of the plan? Clarence in Florida, what's your take? Clarence, we got you? Well, I tried. You know, I tried to let Clarence get his take in. Look, this is going to be interesting, and the reason I don't want to cut anybody off, so I'm not going to cram anybody into this here, but I want to get more take from baseball fanatics, both positive and negative. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776, because the return of sports is an opportunity for all of us to sort of get to see everything different than we're used to, right? The NBA is going to give us a playoff product that's different than we're used to. The NHL is going to give us a playoff product that's different than we're used to. Major League Baseball is going to give us a shortened season. And from all of us, I think there's an opportunity in each of these instances to try new things, to be fresh. Look, realistically, everybody's already going to struggle with how to put context around whatever champion we get from each of these respective sports in a year that's been so much different than we expected. So, if you're going to struggle with that context either way, I feel like the only thing you can do is go out and try different things. My hope for baseball is that there's enough curiosity around a 60-game schedule. There's enough curiosity about what it means for players and for teams and how it sort of normalizes the season. How do we affect, how does it affect teams that may not be as good but suddenly get hot? The ability to watch these different outcomes for Major League Baseball, I think, could be a reason people actually tune in. Curiosity could be something that benefits Major League Baseball in this season. Coming up next, NASCAR made a large statement yesterday regarding Bubba Wallace. You'll hear more about it. First, take your take, ESPN Radio.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway, to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claims service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.